I think we did see Apple, you know, embrace the transcription tag, but many in the industry are kind of like excited about this and thinking that this is a, you know, a crack of opportunity for the industry to be telling these big companies what kind of, you know, namespace tags that they will embrace going forward. I do wonder if this is really kind of an anomaly because of the ubiquity and the interest that transcripts have. Is this going to translate into any other tags being embraced by any of these big platforms too? I don't know. Do you have a perspective on that, Tom?
Again, I think that there's a lot of focusing on the tech. You know, let's take transcripts for a moment. And transcripts are important for accessibility. I want to make that very, very clear.
Oh, yeah.
There should be transcripts, right?
Yeah.
But transcripts are not some magic thing, right? I know it's easier for you to focus on getting a transcript for your show than it is making a better show for your audience.
Right.
And so a lot of people are making that choice. But again, you know, I've already mentioned Reacher. Reacher isn't worried about transcripts, right? Mr. Beast on YouTube isn't sweating tags, right? They're making great shows that are focused on what they're getting back from their audience. Yeah. And so not to the exclusion of the innovations that are possible with Podcast 2.0 and some of the additional tags that we could get in RSS. It's a false choice. It's just that we aren't spending enough time actually keeping up with the changes in the audience as much as we are the tech. And that's what concerns me.
Right. And that actually takes us to another inflection point in the program around trying to talk about that a little bit. And I think that there is a large misunderstanding. And like you told me at the beginning of this show, you're getting a little tired of fighting this battle of trying to overcome the industry's, desire to be primarily seen as an audio-only medium. And I think there's a lot of fear about the potential impact that a proprietary platform like a YouTube could have to the open aspects of podcasting. And I think that's really, if you cut it to the chase, that's what they're fearful of.
That's, you know, I get that, but there's nothing exclusive about YouTube, right? You don't have to make an either or choice. You can produce content for the screen and or app and or player that is in front of people. And and Rob, you just mentioned this, and you know this full well, because I was there at the beginning, right along with you when we had Revision 3, when we had, you know, French Made TV, we had
French Made TV,
we had Beach Walks with Roxanne, right? Of those people, those are original podcasters, right? Those are some, you know, there's some Hall of Famers for you. Those are original podcasters, and they were video podcasters. And so it's always been a part of our DNA. I think the issue is YouTube as much as anything. And I think there's some hatred of YouTube more than there is concern about video. But I will tell you that just as someone who has, look, this is my career. I care about this stuff. Don't ever get that twisted. I've been working in audio my entire career. And what bums me out about this whole debate is that, you know, podcasting originally started as a merry band of pirates that were progressive, that were trying to break out of the conservative mores of broadcast radio, right? And right now, so many of those voices are regressive and not progressive. And the audience is always moving. The audience is always shifting. Yesterday's hot platform is tomorrow's graveyard, and vice versa. And that's what we have to keep up with. So yes, provide transcripts. Yes, provide other tags that help people make money and have transactions and make the experience better for listeners. But, you know, keep track of where the people are and how their behaviors are changing if you want to survive.